Morning.
How is everybody? I was so hot. Yeah, I do need that. Thank you. I had to take my coat off, so I apologize that I'm a little underdressed. It's either that or I'd be a little glistening. So if Mary Ann Carl got lost, you know she was handing out tracts to whoever she saw. So I have no idea what happened last night, but if she got lost, somebody has tracts. There's no doubt about that. So, Chad talked about it. The youth did a great job over here Wednesday. They were they were pulling up all the thorns and the weeds and everything. And it was Wednesday. It was that super humid day. And I kept going outside just to make sure they were okay. And it was just way too hot to hang out with them. And I was like, you guys better hurry up and get this done. But God bless Scott McLeod and the work that he's doing right now with the kids. He's doing a great job, so we are blessed to have him. Amen, amen. And if you see any of the kids, just check their hands because they all don't touch their hands because they all have those prickly things on them. The hospitality team, they're going to meet on Thursday at 7, and the reason they're meeting is one for Awana for Wednesday nights to talk about getting everything kicked off. But the other thing is we're finally going to be able to celebrate what God gave us with the building. So we're super excited about that. So that meeting is going to be on Thursday at 7. So if you want to get involved, is it 6:30? I'm sorry, it's 6:30. So if you want to get involved, be there. But on August the 29th, when we do have the celebration, we will have one service. Okay, so keep that in mind. We're just going to have one service that day. And we'll keep reminding you so nobody shows up at 9 o'clock. So, and more details for that to follow. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And when I wrap up the prayer, I'm going to ask you all to pray the Lord's Prayer with me as one. So let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Lord, in prayer. Father God, thank you for your love, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for having your hand on us and guiding us, Lord. Thank you for every blessing that you give us here, not only at Water Dam Church, but throughout your church, throughout the world, Lord. You are the creator. You are holy. You are holy, holy, holy indeed. And we are so blessed. We are blessed every day that we have here on this earth, Lord. We're blessed for our families and our friends. We're blessed for the ability to come here in the morning and sing songs together and to dig into your word. We love you and we thank you. We praise you for that. And Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done, leaving a place where you did not have to leave and come down and walk amongst people that you did not need to come around and be that perfect sacrifice, be that perfect example of everything. And there's no words that can explain the sacrifice that you gave for us. We thank you for that. And this morning we come together as one and we pray that prayer that you taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I didn't know which way we were going to go. We were going to go debtors or trespasses. That was awesome. So we covered it both. When I pray at home, half my family's Catholic and the other half isn't. We have to do two prayers all the time. So that was pretty neat. So that's funny. I love my church family. So Pastor Jack is on vacation. Dad's away for 2 weeks. We get the keys to the car. But he's listening right now. You know he's watching you. So I promised him I wouldn't do anything crazy or say anything dumb. I'm going to break that promise already. So, but he's on a much-needed vacation. Everybody's been so encouraging. I'm 7 months I've been on staff here, and everybody's been awesome. And you guys ask me the same thing all the time. You say, you know, are you in the swing of things? How is everything going? And my retort, it's the same. Like, my time is not my time anymore. I used to wake up, I had my goals for the day, goals for the week, and goals for the month. And I would go through them, and I would, you know, I could judge my day based on that. And I still do that today, but our days are not our days. It's God's days. It's what the Lord has for us. And we'll come in here, and we'll think we know what's going on, and then it'll totally change, and it's awesome. And it's 24/7, and my man needs a break. I mean, he loves you guys so much. I can't even talk enough. But he, pray for him, pray for Melissa, the girls. Much needed R&R. Don't call him, text him, anything. He was texting me yesterday, and I was like, give Melissa your phone, please, or throw it in the ocean. So my assignment for the next 2 weeks is to go over chapter 9 in Hebrews. And it's a chapter of compare and contrast. That was then, this is now. Look at what happened in the Old Testament times to up into the times of Hebrews. And then we're going to look at like things that happened today at Waterdam. But today we're going to go through, like Chad read, thank you for reading that, Chad, verses 1 through 10. Next week we're going to go through 11 through 28. But today we're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about how God is holy. The angels proclaim that, holy, holy, holy. He is holy, and that is so hard to wrap your head around what that actually means. We're going to look at rituals that were going on then and some rituals that are going on now. And then we're going to look at attitudes. So, I'm going to tell you this now. I'm probably going to say something that may offend some people today, and I'm being serious. That's not my intention. I don't want to hurt any feelings. And if I do, I'm sorry. And if you want to correct me, if you feel the need to straighten me out, take me to coffee. I'm fine with that. So, but keep that in mind. It's all out of love. Everything's out of love. So, and when I show you this, you'll be like, that's not even a big deal, Dan. Why are you even bringing that up? So let's get into this. Let's go to the text. And within Hebrews, we talk about this all the time. The book of Hebrews, we don't know who the author is, but we know why he wrote it. He wrote it to give everybody at that time who was Jewish, they were thousands of years of doing the same thing, rituals, sacrifice, all these things over and over again. They were so used to doing that they needed a guide to see that Jesus fulfilled all these things. All these things that you're doing was fulfilled in Christ. So this letter was written to those people, and it was written to new believers who thought that I had to be Jewish in order to be a believer. So I had to be both Jewish and Christian. And like I said, think about it. Like back then, this would have been a really hard habit to break. Because it was just sacrifice. It was daily, weekly, monthly, yearly sacrifice after day after day after day. There were hundreds of priests that work at both the tabernacle and the temple daily to make sure all these things happened throughout the year. And they had schedules that they had to follow in order to be there, just like we have work schedules. There were cleanings. They had to do certain cleanings. They had to do certain rituals. And they had a fear that if they didn't do it right, something bad could happen. They had to be holy. The whole concept was holiness. Approach God with holiness. And there was a preparation that they had to do in order to approach God with that holiness. And it was kind of nerve-wracking, actually. This isn't working. Wait a second. User error. All right. So in verse 1, it says, now the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness. Okay, so the first covenant had regulations. There were things that they had to do, specific things they had to follow, regulations that they had to follow, and, by the way, an earthly place of holiness. Okay, that's the tabernacle. That's the temple. That's the Holy of Holies, where the Lord would meet the high priest one time a year. It was holy ground, sacred ground. And it was a big deal to approach God. You had to be holy. You had to be almost sinless in order to do that. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's staff that budded in the tables of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. So I went to Brentwood. My teachers were either from Brentwood or Bell Vernon. I have no idea why. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Do you guys know what cherubim are? I learned this. So a flock of birds is called a flock, right? This flock of seagulls, cattle, herd. A bunch of cherubim or cherubs, cherubim. No idea. Clueless. So I learned something, and that's it. So have a good week. Okay. I'm visual, so I need to see things. And this representation is a representation of what the tabernacle would have looked like. You have that where the priest is, that's the holy place, okay? The only Levitical priests could go in there. They worked daily. They went in there and they had daily rituals. They had to clean themselves a certain way. They had to wear certain clothes. They weren't allowed to do anything out of the ordinary in order to walk into that room. In that room, you see the lampstand. That lampstand had to be lit 24/7. That was not allowed to go out. That referred to God as eternal. That he's an eternal God. You have what is they call the bread of presence, which is down a little lower, right in the middle. It looks like pancakes. Yeah, that's the bread of presence. They were there were two rows of six. My Brentwood math tells me that's 12. So that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. And what that was is the fellowship that God had with Israel, okay? So there was a meaning behind all of this. Now, every Friday night, that showbread had to be swapped out for new showbread, okay? That was part of their job. They had to have a specific ritual in order to do that. They had to have a specific cleaning in order to do that. But the Levitical priests got to eat that showbread. That was part of their job, was they got to eat that when at the end of the week. Now, right in front of where the curtain would be is the altar of incense. The altar of incense needed to be burned twice a day, morning and night, and that was offered to God. Now, when we read this, it says that the altar of incense was actually in the Holy of Holies. What it's referring to is the action of the altar of incense. So that incense itself blew into the Holy of Holies. It was for God. It was an offering for God. So you had that offering two times a day, that only the Levitical priests could give. They had to go through these rituals in order to do these things. They had to be basically holy. God gave them specific things, specific orders of how to do these things. And they were fearful the whole time that they would do something out of order or they did something incorrectly. So you see the veil. That veil was 45 feet high. Okay, so most of us, well, a lot of us have a two-story house. So think of that, two stories, add another one, Brentwood math, or add another house. So there's 40 feet. So this veil was 40 feet high, and some accounts have it anywhere between 4 to 8 inches wide. Okay, so it's wider than a 2x4 is thick. It took 300 Levitical priests to move that veil if it ever needed moved. I can't imagine. I don't know why you would move it other than one time a year when the high priest would go into what was called the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant is. So one time a year, the high priest would go on the holy ground, sacred ground, and meet the Lord. And all of us, you know, we're all biblical scholars. We all know, you know, it's the 10th day of Tishri. It's the 10th day of the 7th month. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, people. Oh, right, exactly. So one day a year, the high priest would go in there. But before he did that, he had to do something. He had work to do in the first room. So he did his work in the first room with a certain set of clothes, certain washing. And then he would go into the next room with a different set of clothes, different washing. And what they would do is there was a sacrifice that happened on the Day of Atonement. They would sacrifice a bull, and they would sacrifice a goat. There were two goats. So they sacrificed the first goat, and that the blood of that goat was sprinkled on the top, the lid, where the cherubim are, two angels, cherubim. The priest would do that. He would sprinkle that on there. That was for the sacrifice of sins. The second goat was called the scapegoat. And what the priest would do is he would lay his hands on that goat. And what that signified was transferring all the sins of Israel onto that goat. And then that goat would be taken out of the city. So you have sacrifice for sin, and then you have the sins being placed on something else and then sent out, sent away. Okay. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were Aaron's staff, the Ten Commandments, and a golden urn that had the manna from when God supplied manna to the Israelites. This happened year after year after year after year. Goats were killed, bulls were killed. There was nothing of significance to it. Especially up into 500 years before the book of Hebrews was written. And that's because the Ark of the Covenant wasn't even in that building or in the tabernacle because it was lost 500 years before. We have no idea where the Ark of the Covenant is. So for 500 years, this most holy ritual aspect that the high priest was only allowed to do, he wasn't even able to do that for 500 years. When I was preparing this sermon, I thought Thursday, I was okay until I read this line in verse 5. The very end, it says, of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. And before, when I was reading it, I thought he meant we don't have time to talk about it or it's not important, we're just not going to go over it. But I think what he was talking about was, we don't have the ark. We don't even have it anymore to talk about it in detail. It's not there. There's nothing to talk about in detail because it's gone. It's totally gone. So the whole time that they were preparing themselves, they were trying to be holy, they were trying to do everything that they were going through, their hearts weren't always in the right place because the items that they needed to complete these tasks weren't there. It wasn't possible for them to do these things. It was impossible. The rituals, it was a daily thing. They could never be holy. The whole idea was to be holy. When you come to the Lord, God says, be holy as I am holy. When you come to the Lord, you're to be holy. They had these cleanings that they had to do. They had certain wardrobes that they had to do. They had the day of preparation. So before, imagine this. We come to the service today, and the worship team practices Thursday night, and then they practice. They get here, what time do you get here, 8 o'clock? So you get here at 8 o'clock, and you practice. Could you imagine having a whole day of preparation? Like a whole day of getting everything together, everything. Marge getting the communion together, like everything, for a full day. But they were so zoned in on it. They were so, that was their thing. They had to do things God's way, holy. They had to be holy. And I think about the Catholic Mass. Okay, I'm a recovering Catholic, so I can say these things. Catholic Mass is very ritualistic. You get up, I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic Mass, you're like, what am I doing here? This is that, do I shake your hand now? Do I not? Kneel, stand. You don't know what you're doing half the time. But all that means something, but none of us know what it means. Even Catholics don't even know what it means half the time. But you go through these things because you get caught in a rut. You get so used to doing the same thing over and over again, it becomes a ritual. And we can fall in that too. And we have this saying that, you know, it's the water dam way. We do things the water dam way. We can't do that because it's not the water dam way. And sometimes maybe we're missing out on something. Maybe there's something that's maybe a better way. Or maybe it's just a different way that might be bring joy or something to somebody else. And then we think about ourselves, like, I have to have this done my way. I have to do it my way. And then I can't get out of God's way because I have to have it my way. And then if you don't do it the way that I want you to do it, then it's not going to work. That ministry is not going to work. There's no way. And then you're in the same spiritual bondage that the priests were, that the Jews were. Fear of wrath. These guys were afraid of everything. They went and saw God. They were in the same room as God. The high holy priest would walk in there. He had certain things to do, and the whole time he's doing them, he's thinking to himself, if I mess something up, I'm going to die right now. God demands us to be holy. He demands us to follow his laws. Exodus 3 and Joshua 5, God told Moses and Joshua, take your shoes off when you're in my presence. You know, have respect, have reverence. I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. Take your shoes off. Be prepared to meet me. In 2 Samuel, Uzzah, they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the ox, the Ark of the Covenant was huge. It's on a cart. An ox trips. It doesn't say anything about the Ark of the Covenant falling or going off balance, but Uzzah goes to steady the ark. And he died because God told them, do not touch the ark. You have to follow my rules. Be holy as I'm holy. Moses' nephews, Nadab and Abihu, they were priests. They were Aaron's sons. They were priests. They were Levitical priests. They burnt incense to the Lord, for the Lord, but they did it in an unauthorized manner, and God wiped them away right then and there. So God has these rules, and he wants us to follow, and God's rules don't care about our feelings. Like, there are things in the Bible that I read that I'm not comfortable with. But that doesn't mean that they're wrong in any way, shape, or form. This is what's right. It's not what I feel. It's not how I think. It's not like, oh, that's not so bad. It's not too bad. If it's not in here, if it's not the Word of God, if it's not his rules, then they're not holy. And they're not right. Martin Luther. Dan, you looking at this? Martin Luther. I got it up there on the screen. I know. So I got Martin Luther up here because the last word in verse 10 is Reformation. And I think Martin Luther as the father of the Reformation. And the reason I put this up here is because he was... he was entangled in spiritual bondage while he was becoming a priest. He was going to become a Catholic priest. And at one point, when he was going through his training, he was doing communion for the first time. He got ready to give the sacraments, and he totally shut down. He shut down to the point where he had to sit down. It would be like me standing here and being like, I can't talk to you anymore. I have to sit down. And the reason that happened is because he thought to himself, I am administering the sacrament of God. He had such reverence for communion, such awe at who God is and his holiness and how awesome he is, that he didn't want anything, that he couldn't do anything. His lip was quivering before he sat down. He just could not do it. And I think about the Catholics again. I don't know if you know this, but Catholics have to be sinless in order to take communion. Okay? In order to be sinless, you have to sit in a room with a priest and you tell that priest all your sins. When I was a kid, I was so deathly afraid of that guy that I would forget half my sins. I would go out and I'd be like, oh no. But you can't take communion if you have sin in you, right? Well, if I gave you all my sins, I'm going to take communion as soon as I step out that door because I know what's going to happen. Same thing with killing the bulls and killing the goats. I'm the guy that's like, here's my goat. I'm getting back in line because I know I'm going to sin again. It's just going to be a revolving door. It's going to go on and on and on and on. It's a burden. It's a burden that we shouldn't be carrying. I can tell you when Jen and I got together, Jen had more of a Protestant background than I did. She was telling me stuff, and I was like, but how? What about the saints? Like, I got to pray to a saint. Like, she's like, no, give it all to the Lord. Like, how do you do that? How in the world do you do that? And it's the same thing with these guys. You know, they didn't even have the Ark of the Covenant, and they're still going through these motions because they didn't know any better. I think about how we prepare ourselves for Sunday. And are we doing it right? So here's my question. This is where I may offend you. How many times do we leave the house Sunday morning with our agenda and not God's agenda? How many times do you leave the house and you think, I need to talk to that person about this? And not, I can't wait to get to church and just lay it all at the feet of the cross. How many times if you have kids and you leave church, you're going to lose your mind at some point during the drive. It happens, especially if you leave 10 minutes too late. The first time I ever sat in Russ Hummer's Bible study, it's a typical Sunday morning at the Fennell house. We're 10 minutes late. We get here, and we don't know anybody here. And Jen's like, we're looking in the window, and Jen goes, I think it's okay to go in. Do we go in? Do we not go in? I'm like, all right, we'll go in. And I'm mad. I know Dylan could probably attest to this. I was probably yelling at everybody. Get in the car. I was probably sitting in the driveway waiting for everybody to get in the car. And then get here. My mind's not in the right space. I walk into the room. Everybody looks at us, and I say, I'm sorry we're late. We have kids. Bill Bush is sitting there. He goes, but my mind was not anywhere near where it needed to be to worship God. It was nowhere near. And I know I'm not the only one. I am not the only one who gets behind somebody and is like, if this guy doesn't go any faster, you know, like, on the way to service. We're called to be holy. Be holy as I am holy. And we're to dedicate this. We're to give this all to God. All right. Here's the good news. That's that same picture for those of you with short-term memory. All this meant something. All this pointed to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. His light will never go out. Always was, always will be. The bread of life. We prayed it today in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's our Lord and Savior. He was through all this. He is in heaven right now, on the right hand of the Father, talking to God on our behalf. So he's offering the prayers to the Father now. And this is going to upset some people. But that ark is gone. And it's not coming back. And I know that there's some of us in this room that think that there might be another temple that's built. And it doesn't matter. That ark is never coming back. If there's another temple that's built, they're going to sacrifice animals in it. And that's not God's plan. So if there would be another temple built, that's not of the Lord. And I know that that might upset people, and I'm sorry, but buy me coffee and we can talk about it. That veil, when the Lord said it is done and gave up his spirit, was split in two. And we're talking 4 to 8 inches. It was thicker than a 2x4 is wide. God was like, whoosh, done. That meant that we had access to the Father. We do not need any of this. We just need Christ. That's all we need. We don't need any of this stuff. And how do we get Christ? It's the gospel, right? We're sinners. We know that. We're in need of a Savior. We can't do it on our own. We need to repent of our sins and chase after Jesus and believe that what he did on the cross was sufficient for us to be with the Father. That's love. That is love. All right. So what do we have? It went from a building that was constructed with man's hands, right? The guy whose idea was for the building, he wasn't even allowed to build it. David wasn't even allowed to build the temple. His son had to do it because David had blood on his hands. But we don't need a building because we have Jesus, we have our Lord. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what we have. We have an eternal resting place with the Lord. We don't need stuff. We don't need a building. We don't need bricks. Repentance. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess with our lips. We don't have to sacrifice anything. We don't have to do any of that anymore. Could you imagine Jax the high priest? He's a farmer, so he'd probably like this. You know, he'd be cutting up the meat. And then whoever was collecting the offering would be collecting. Like, it would be a mess here. Cindy Cowley would lose her mind. Could you imagine? And praise God. Why did he put us here right now? Why didn't he put us 2,000 years ago? Praise him for us to be here now, that we can see it. And it lives in us. He's our rest. Mark 11:29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That high holy priest had to change his clothes on the Day of Atonement and take multiple baths in order just to walk into a room. And then he was so stressed out while he was doing all that he couldn't focus on what he was trying to do, and that was worship the Lord. We don't have to do any of that. He's living in us. We have him inside us. And it's not easy. It's not always easy. It's never easy. I say it's harder today than it ever was. When I was not saved, I was a mess, and I didn't care. But now that I'm saved, I care. Your burdens are my burdens. Your joys are my joys. But it's all in Jesus. The rules. I went out of order. Why didn't somebody correct me? Thanks, Danielle. So, Jack talked about 636 rules last week. I ask my wife. I can't keep 5 rules straight, let alone 636. Like, how would you do that? And I don't know if you guys know Matthew 11, 29 through 30, but it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't want to have to do 636 rules. That is not in me. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor like yourself, and spread the gospel. I can handle that. That I can do. We are so blessed to be where we are right now. It's unbelievable how blessed we are in so many ways. And why? Why does he love us so much that he put us here? America. You know? Under grace. It's beautiful. Now, William Barclay says this. He's got the most beautiful Scottish accent. Had. Every year, this ceremony had to be gone through again. Everyone but the high priest was barred from the presence, and even he entered in terror. The cleansing was a purely external one by baths of water. The sacrifice was that of bulls and goats and animal blood. The whole thing failed because such things cannot atone for sin. In it, all the writer to the Hebrews sees is a pale copy of the reality, a ghostly pattern of the one true sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ. It was a noble ritual, a thing of dignity and beauty, but it was only an unavailing shadow. The only priest and the only sacrifice which can open the way to God for all is through Jesus Christ. That's it. We don't need any of that. Christ and Christ alone. It's pretty easy. He loves you. He wants you to be holy. And that's hard. It's difficult. But he loves you. Let's pray. Father God, You are amazing. You have a plan that stretches out from the beginning of time, and we try to look out and see it, and we just fail miserably. But you still love us, Lord. We fall, and we say things, and we do things, and you still have your arms wrapped around us. You've provided a way for us to be with you, to be with you forever through your Son. you've given us the ability to do it way easier than others, and for no reason. We have no idea why, and we praise you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you that we can be where we are today in this moment in time, Lord, and it's because of your love for us. And it's nothing that we did. You don't need us. And Father, I ask you just to soften our hearts when we think that we need to do that extra thing, or when we get too carried away in a ritual or a routine or a way, and just soften our hearts and open it so that we can see that it's about you, it's about your Son and what he did, and it's about the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. That's our guide. That's where our eyes should be. That's where our heart should be. That's how you want it. And we thank you for your word that explains that to us. And Jesus, we thank you for the example that you made so we know exactly that it's not in stone, it's not in a building. It's in us, and it's what you put in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're all sinners, and we deserve the wrath of the Father because we're not holy, and we need a Savior. And we need to repent of our sins, and we need to chase after him hard and put all our faith in him. Here's your Spurgeon quote for the day. Death is no punishment to the believer. It is the gate of endless joy. Charles Spurgeon. Here are the words of the benediction taken from Jude, the brother of our Lord and Savior, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God bless.